He's ready. He's ready for it.
Okay, thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for your invitation. It is a great honor and privilege to be here. I believe it's an answer to prayer. It is God's wonderful and absolute sovereignty that I'm here today. It's a long story. I don't have time to get into this, but I just want you to know this. It is a great joy to be here. This is the second conference I attend in the States. I arrived almost a month ago. And it is ever since I've been so blessed. After every church, I say my batteries are full. But every time I go to a new place, I see there's room more for more encouragement and more joy. And I'm really thankful to the Lord first for being here. It is a great honor and privilege. I bring you greetings from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Assembly in Bocsa, Romania. That's about 7,000 miles away from here. And as well as from greetings from Brother Curtis Pugh from Poto, Oklahoma. He wished he could be here, but he cannot travel long distances anymore. So he asked me to send you his greetings. I was a bit concerned in the morning when I heard Brother Page preaching. I thought he was going to preach my sermon. And he didn't totally, but I will reiterate some of the things he said. Because I want to preach to you about the greatest danger the Lord's churches face on earth. And it is not a new danger. It has been present ever since the first church was established by our Lord during his personal ministry on earth. And that great danger is apostasy.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I will be direct and straightforward, and I hope I will not offend anybody, but I need to preach to you what the Lord lays on my heart. And now I know that y'all think I preach funny or speak funny. Well, English is not my native language, so please excuse me. I am trying to grasp the southern drawl and the Kentucky accent, but I'm not doing a very good job. So if my meaning doesn't come through or you don't understand me, I'll try to rephrase, but pray for me. I know I'll make some mistakes. I apologize already for them. But please try to see the meaning of what I'm trying to say. I would like to read a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4, the first 8 verses. As I said, I will want to preach on apostasy today. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Amen. I believe we are in the time of the greatest falling away from truth, the greatest apostasy ever.
Amen.
What is apostasy? Well, the definition of the term, it's the Greek word apostasia, and that means a falling away or turning away from, a rebellion or a desertion from the truth.
Amen. Amen.
We could define the apostasy as being a willful and a conscientious turning away from the truth. It's not ignorance. People that apostatize, that are apostates, they know the truth in their heads and they are set to reject it.
Amen.
And they rebel against it. Now, who can apostatize? I want to speak about the apostasy of churches. What churches can apostatize? Only true churches.
Amen.
False churches, churches that were started on the wrong way, that were never Christ churches, they cannot apostatize.
Right.
They're only true churches. That danger is only upon true churches. It doesn't mean that the saved in such a church lose their salvation, but it means that the church as a whole, as an institution, the candlestick is
right.
Removed from God's presence, from the presence of our Lord. We read this in Revelation 2:5. Apostasy is irreversible. Once that line is crossed, once a church falls into apostasy, they lose the very essence of the church. They lose Christ's presence. They lose the prerogatives. They lose the scriptural right to baptize and to have the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
They lose the scriptural right to ordain. They lose the scriptural right to do anything that a sound church does.
Amen.
Apostasy is irreversible. And this is why it is the greatest danger a church can face. Our Lord said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not attempt to prevail against it. No, that's not what it says. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It doesn't say they won't try. Satan's main attacks were concentrated not upon man-made organizations, but upon Christ's churches, upon the divine institution he created. And it has always been so. Most churches that die today, they do not die fighting.
Right.
They die in their sleep.
Amen.
And they die because they sleep instead of watch. Our human nature makes us think that, yes, apostasy is possible, the danger is real, but it can't happen to us. Anyone else can fall into apostasy, but us. Well, this imagined immunity is one of the main tricks the devil uses.
Amen.
To draw churches into apostasy. You may think I exaggerate. I don't think so. You're nodding your heads. But I believe just about any one of you, if not everybody, knows churches that started well and ended up bad.
That's
that
right,
is,
man.
They died scripturally.
Yeah.
They may go on, they may be successful in the eyes of the world, but they're dead in the eyes of God.
Right.
Well, let's think about the churches in the New Testament. How long did it take for the churches we read on the pages of the New Testament to fall into apostasy? Because they did.
Amen.
The church in we read about the church in Rome, about the church in Ephesus and Thessalonica and Philippi and so on. I will be generous and say that by the beginning of the 4th century, all the churches we read about in the New Testament were already apostate churches by the time of Emperor Constantine. Brother Spears, your church was organized in, 1786, right? Most churches in the New Testament did not defend the faith for so long a time, unfortunately, because they did not watch. They started well, one generation, two or three, they went well. After this, we see error creeping in, and we know the results. What can we do about this? Because it is the duty of every single church to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints.
Amen.
To defend the truth and to proclaim, because there's no other institution to be the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
What can we do? Well, we know that our arch enemy is the master deceiver and the great tactician. He knows that he cannot stand against us face to face, not because of who we are, but because who's behind us, who's greater than him. So he will try to sneak up on us. Well, if we know his tactics, we can better stand against him. What's the solution? Watch. Be on the watch. Contend for the faith. And know the ways the devil work. I think we can pretty much identify several signs of apostasy. There are several steps that always take place when a church is falling, when a church is backsliding. And I think the first step, the first sign of apostasy, is going beyond that which is written. That's the first sign. That's how everything starts. When the Word of God is not sufficient anymore, when the Word of God ceases to be the final authority, when the Word of God ceases to be that standard that judges all opinions and doctrines and practices of men.
That's right, amen.
63 times in the New Testament, when our Lord and the apostles were making absolute statements, they quote, "For it is written," and they quote the Old Testament, the given and written scriptures of God as their final authority. In the Old Testament, we find the call to the law and to the testimony. That was final.
Amen.
My opinion may differ from yours. But if you have Bible for it and I don't, that should settle it. I should change. The Bible should settle all arguments.
Amen.
All false churches and all false teachings started when people left the Bible, went beyond that which is written.
Amen.
The Bible is under attack today. Why? Because it's the foundation of our faith. The foundations are under attack. And that's the first sign of apostasy. If you show somebody that what they are doing, or a church, that what they're doing is not scriptural, and they say, "So what?" You found a sign of apostasy.
Amen.
It's a clear and evident one. The second sign of apostasy is the changing or the alteration of the gospel. Now, our gospel is mighty. Our gospel is powerful.
Amen.
It is called the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of God's unmerited favor.
Amen.
It is powerful because it reveals grace and it reveals the righteousness of God. Right? Romans 1:17. I asked somebody, "What is the gospel?" And I let them, that man was a preacher. He is a preacher. So I gave him as much time as he wanted. And he talked for an hour and he couldn't tell me what the gospel is. Well, I told him, Paul didn't need an hour. Paul needed two short verses to remind the Corinthian church about what the gospel is. In a nutshell, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and was resurrected the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel.
Amen.
That is the message. Now, brother, you mentioned another gospel in Galatians, which is not another. Now, in Greek, there are two words for another. One is allos, and that means another of the same kind. And the word is used by our Lord when he speaks of another comforter. That's another of the same kind. It was, the Spirit is of the same nature as Jesus, the Son. But the gospel, the other gospel in Galatians is heteros. And that means another of a different nature. That gospel is not the power of God for salvation. All false gospels attack the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Only the gospel of the grace of God is one that honors Christ. No true gospel, I dare to say no salvation. People, some people, and I'm saddened by this. Some people and some churches are satisfied with giving people skim milk. That's what right. I say. The gospel is the spiritual milk. And some are satisfied with giving them skim milk. Right. Something that looks like milk, but when you taste it, it's water. That's my opinion about skim milk. We need to preserve the gospel pure. Without the true message, what do we have? Because people changed the message. And they started right in the days of Paul. Salvation through ceremonies, salvation through law keeping. After that, salvation through sacraments. Salvation that is in the universal visible church. Decisional regeneration today.
Right.
All these are nothing but false gospels.
Amen.
Because the notion of grace is either absent or severely distorted. And without the grace of God, there is no salvation.
Amen.
And only the true gospel proclaims the grace of God and His sovereignty in salvation from the beginning to the end. The changing or the alteration of the gospel is the second sign of apostasy. Because people changed the original message, they had to come up with new methods. You pointed well, brother, that it is not our duty to save people. It is not our duty to bring them to God. He does that.
Amen.
He draws people to God. It is our duty to present the message. We don't need psychological tricks. We don't need mind manipulation. We don't need scary stories. Because fear of hell is not the same with love as for God.
Amen.
We don't need these things. Because our gospel is powerful.
Amen.
It's not of human origin. The changing or the alteration of the gospel is the second sign of apostasy. The third sign is accepting lost people into the membership of the Lord's church.
Right.
That's the third sign. Maybe the steps are not very clear to you, but one leads to another. And I hope you will see this by the time I finish. Accepting lost people. Now, the church was designed to be an assembly of believers.
Amen.
Of professed believers. And it has to stay the same way in order to continue to be the expression of the divine mind on earth. It has to be the same. What do people have? A church of the masses. That's what they want. When just a profession of a mental faith is enough. Now, what happens if a true church starts not watching the entering door in the church?
Amen.
Baptism. One goat comes in, and then another, and you create a precedent, and another.
Right.
What happens if the goats outnumber the sheep?
Right.
Which way the flock will go? I guess we all know the answer.
Yeah,
man. That's another sign of apostasy. We are very much aware of this in Romania. And we don't make any rules. But to us, we don't accept people for baptism with ease. Some have to wait.
Amen.
and had waited like some waited 2 years before they were baptized. But those who are pillars and are pillars in our church now.
Amen.
Many came to us and asked for baptism, and they wanted to be added. They wanted to work for the Lord. And the church said, well, let us pray about it. And whenever we will be satisfied that you bring fruits meet for repentance,
Amen.
That you stand, that you really believe the things you say you believe, you'll be baptized. Well, most of them turned around and left.
Right.
We're not sorry, because they would have left anyway.
Amen.
And it would have been worse if they stayed in our church,
yeah.
If they were baptized.
You're right, amen.
So, as one brother put it, he said, I needed, he came from a false church, an Armenian church, and he said, I needed the time for detox. Because such people come, I did too. We come from, with a certain doctrinal baggage. Things that we've been taught that were wrong. And we need time to find the truth. And not only in our heads, but in our hearts, and live it. We need time to know, to find out what the true church is, the responsibilities of membership.
Amen.
Because, let me just say this, a church of Christ is a body. And in a body, you don't have passive consumers. Every organ and every member and every little part of your body gives something and receives from all the rest.
Amen.
So this is how things should be in Christ's church, in the congregation of the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody gives whatever he or she has, and everybody receives.
Amen.
The third sign of apostasy is accepting lost people into the membership of the church. People are more concerned with quantity than quality. Many of the false churches, many of the churches that fell into apostasy, after they made that step, they became successful in the eyes of the world. They grew in number, in financial power, they have all kinds of programs. But the most important person for a church is not there. So what's the gain?
That's it, amen.
In Romania, we have, our church has 9 members and 4 for the next candidates for the next baptism. And we would much rather take a very slow increase,
amen.
But have the quality, than to have a fast increase. If we hadn't done that, our church would have been probably off track already. So, being the first church in Romania of that faith and practice, we must be really careful. And I would like to encourage you, and in whatever church you come from, to do the same. You have to guard baptism. It is the duty of every member, every individual of the church. Because if you don't do that, you lose it. You lose it. And church discipline. A church should strive for purity and holiness. We'll never attain perfection while on earth. I know in my church we'll never attain perfection because I'm still a member there. But still, we want to try. And the church should do this. It is a painful and a sad time when we have to discipline somebody.
Right.
But the church that does not practice discipline, it's a church that would rather be pleasing to men than to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The fourth sign of apostasy is the perverting of the church ordinances. And there are two. The first time I preached this message, I preached in Winston-Salem, and I told them there are 7, thinking about the 7 sacraments, wanted to know if they pay attention or not, and they did, because I've seen some big eyes coming. There are only 2 ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's
Amen.
It. No more. They all are basically the gospel in pictures. And in order to have the gospel right, you have to have the ordinances right. There are four conditions for scriptural baptism, for the act to be valid. Otherwise, it's null and void. And I know it. I was immersed before in a rank Armenian church. It was not scriptural baptism. The scriptural candidate is the first. It has to be a person that professes to believe in Christ and bring fruits meet for repentance toward God. The mode? Immersion. We don't have much problems with that because in Romania everybody immerses. I guess they know Greek better than in Western Europe and here. The Greek church does. They immerse too. The third, the proper reason, the motive behind the act. It's not for me to obtain salvation, because salvation is not in that water.
Amen.
And the administrator doesn't have magical power. No.
Amen.
It is the testimony of a conscience that is already cleaned. It is a public putting on of Christ's uniform. And acknowledging that I identify myself with the church that baptized me. And fourth, the administrator. The administrator is only a true church. And by that I mean a Baptist church.
Amen.
We don't have all the different names you have here. Independent, Sovereign Grace, Landmark, Missionary, Baptist. Fortunately, we don't have in Romania all these names. And by the way, we just cannot call ourselves Landmark Baptist, because if I just translate the term landmark into Romanian, it means a stone out in the field dividing properties. So the connotation would be like Baptists who argue about the stone in the field, you know, where it should be. So we call ourselves historic Baptists, because we believe that's what Baptists believe down through history, some Baptists. That's the only, such a church is the only proper administrator for scriptural baptism, because just as the gospel, the ordinances were entrusted by the Lord to His church as an institution, and to all those that came out of her later and preserved the faith pure. The same with the Lord's Supper. I still have more to say and I don't have much time left. If anybody makes it a saving sacrament, that's a clear sign of apostasy.
Amen.
I should go further. The change in the form of church government is another sign of apostasy. You may not think that's so important. It is. Churches in Romania ceased long ago to be democracies, as churches were intended to be. Read Matthew 18. The final authority is the church. And they became republics. They elect officials, they elect a group of pastors or a committee or a board, and they take care of their business, and the ordinary member does not have access to the decision-making process. And that's a republic. That's not a democracy. Well, we learn that we humans don't learn from our mistakes. That's the first sign, that's the first error in the historic churches that led to what we know today as the Catholic hierarchy. We find the beginning of this error even in the Bible. We find diatrophies who love to have the preeminence.
Right.
We find pastors or bishops, as Peter calls them, that is the same thing, that want to be lords over Christ's heritage. And we find the Nicolaitans, people who love power, who love power over masses. Clergy is a sign of apostasy. You should respect and treat well your pastor and all those that God have called to preach. But they're equal. They have one vote in the church. They're equal. I learned this English expression, saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's what happened. It is in our nature to organize ourselves. You know, we like centralization. Think about Babel. Think about our political systems. It's all the same. Think about religion. It's the same. Churches started organizing, becoming like, you know, on a regional level, and then national level, and then continental level. So we have big pyramids now. Is this the intention of our founder? No.
Amen.
No way. No way. The change in the form of church government, anything that robs the local church and makes it anything else than a simple democracy under Christ, is a sign of apostasy. Sixth and seventh, I need to really get in a hurry now, is an intolerant, revengeful, and persecuting spirit. You should thank the Lord that you don't face persecution here for now.
Right.
For now. But many churches, and look at our forefathers, look in our history, how much blood was shed. Now, one way of identifying true churches in history is don't try to say that a church that actively and knowingly persecutes and sheds blood in the name of her faith is a true church. Because Christ our Lord said that they shall do this because they don't know the Father and they don't know the Son.
Amen.
John 16, 1 and 2. Somebody that persecutes does not know God.
Amen.
And seventh, unlawful union and collaboration between church and state. That's everything started with Constantine. And you have pretty good assurance here in the United States of separation between church and state. It's not the same case in Europe. We face it, and our church is not recognized by the state, but we're thankful that we're recognized by our Lord.
Amen.
And that's enough to us.
Amen.
Churches, many churches had to go underground. That's no problem. Better that than to associate with Caesar and commit adultery against our Lord.
Amen.
Eighth, false worship and idol worship is another sign of apostasy. What do I mean by idol worship? Anything or anybody worshipped other than the true God is an idol.
Amen.
When Catholics worship saints and give them attributes of God, omnipresence, omniscience, power of intercession, that's an idol.
Amen.
Image worship is an idol. Our Lord did not give us his revelation by image, but by logos, by the word.
Amen.
And we need to keep it like that. And I should add something else. Again, I do not want to upset anybody, but if you or anyone else celebrate pagan holidays.
Amen.
Thank you. I was going to say that anyway. I don't know what you believe. Pagan holidays, hid under Christian names,
right,
remain pagan nevertheless.
Amen. You're right.
God's temple should be pure and free of idols and of pagan worship.
Amen.
Christmas,
right.
Easter, Palm Sunday,
you're right.
Even Pentecost. There's a long story behind the Pentecost. Two, Valentine's Day. Should I keep naming them? It's enough. These are pagan holidays and the people of God should stay free of them.
You're right.
If a church militantly defends and insists knowingly on this, that's a sign of apostasy.
Amen.
The Lord did not tell us
to do and to keep these celebrations. Do you think our Lord would keep something good away from us? I don't think so. You know, the very seed of doubt, that's the very seed of doubt Satan put in Eve's mind. Many people wonder, but what's wrong if we celebrate Christmas? If it were good, our Lord would have told us to celebrate it.
Right.
And that's good enough for me. And the last sign, ecumenism, the ecumenical movement. What's that? Well, it's a relatively new current. And it is nothing but one world church or religion globalism. That's what it is. Who's behind it? The Roman Catholic Church. I will have a booklet, an article that I wrote after spending a year researching into the archives of the Vatican, of the World Council of Churches and World Evangelical Alliance. And the conclusions are pretty scary. There's nothing biblical in it. It's just an imitation. It is just unlawful competition to the Lord's churches. The language they use may sound reasonable and nice. There's nothing biblical in it. And
amen.
Any part, any collaboration with this movement, it's a definite sign of apostasy.
Amen.
I believe these nine signs should remind us of the tactics of our archenemy. And if we stand strong, if we are aware of these, we will be able to defend our ground, to contend for the faith. He has no power against us if we are watching and if we are ready to fight. The gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. The promises we stand on are sure. But we have responsibilities too. May the Lord open our hearts and eyes to see what we're supposed to do in order to keep our churches free from and far away from apostasy near Him. That's faithfulness that will be rewarded just as Paul's faithfulness in the ministry was rewarded. May we all find that reward when we'll meet our Lord and Groom, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. I have 10 more minutes, right? I would like to speak to you about the work in Romania, just so that you may put some faces on names. Many of you receive our prayer letters, and I would really appreciate the knowledge that you all are praying for us. So I would like to share some pictures with you. Unfortunately, I'm afraid not all of you will be able to see them, but if anyone will want to check the pictures later, they are welcome. The laptop will be here. I'll just need to find the plug before the battery runs down, but that's not a problem. So let's see. Okay. First of all, where are we? Where's Romania? Somebody asked me, in what part of Ohio is that? Well, Romania is in southeastern Europe. As I said, 7,000 miles away from here. And it's a former communist country. We were on the wrong side of the Iron Curtain. But we thank the Lord that things have changed quite a bit since 1989, since the communism regime fell during the revolution. Romania is right here. So this is the Black Sea, this is the Mediterranean, Israel is here. So we're like this from Israel and almost about the same distance to Germany, France and Great Britain. These are countries that I'm sure you all know. I have drawn some lines here, some new works that are starting. The Lord is opening doors for Europe, and please pray about this. A month before I came, the Lord opened a door in Graz, Austria, and one in Stuttgart, Germany. We sent literature, we made one visit in Germany, three visits three visits in Austria already, and the brother in Austria also made a visit to us in Boksha and in Filiash, in the southern mission point that we have. And after I left, Aurel and Miriam, my wife, sent 220 pounds of literature into Rome and Florence, Italy, and we have invitations to go there. So as soon as I come back, we'll make a trip there and see what the Lord has for us in there. So I would appreciate you to pray for this. You mentioned, brother, you need to be concerned about home missions. And I will take a minute of my time to say this. The circle of missions has to gradually increase. You have to start from your community, and then to your county, and your state, and your nation, and then to the all parts of the world. It is very important. You cannot skip circles. You cannot. It's not sound. It's not healthy to do that. This is Romania. We are in southwestern Romania. In southwestern Transylvania. You heard about Transylvania, I'm sure. Somebody asked me this morning about that. I said, well, there's no Dracula there. So this is where we are. This is Boksha. And these are some of the mission points that we regularly visit. It's from here to here is like 13 and a half, 14 hour drive. We have no interstates there. So it's just two lane roads, some of them in not too good a condition. And so it's 14 hour drive to our furthest mission point here, and also 14 hour drive to Stuttgart, Germany. But the distance to Germany is a lot greater. But the time is the same because of the interstates, the freeways. And this is Filiaș, and this is Roșiori. Pretty soon we hope to have distinct churches organized there. There are people there that faithfully attend, and we pray that the Lord will add them to the church, and then they will be dismissed and organized in distinct churches. And there are two cities, three actually, in Transylvania, north of us, that we hope to begin pretty soon new mission works there. So I would appreciate your prayers for this. I will skip some of the pictures. This picture was taken at the church organization in June the 21st, 2009. And I was just going to show you some pictures from the literature ministry, because all these doors, most of them, are open through the literature ministry. This is the risograph that we use. It's got already like 3 million impressions on it. That means 3 million sheets. And I think we printed more than 300,000 copies of literature. Everything we distribute is free. By the way, Brother Kenny, the literature there is free in Romanian, but I have to take it back. You cannot read it anyway. It's just some samples that I brought. So don't come and offer me money to get it, because I cannot I cannot give it to you. So this is our risograph. We wore this thing out. We just have problems with the feeder now. The Lord answered the prayer. We cannot find parts anymore for it. The dealer says it's too old. They don't keep parts for it. It's a 98 model. And we bought it in 2002, but it's a 98 model. And they keep, because we are faithful customers, they keep ink cartridges, but no more parts. So we had some from the feeders. We had some rubber rollers. They simply disintegrated because of usage, and we're not able to locate some. There are 15, and four of them disintegrated, but we were still able to function with 11. But if something happens with the rest, we'll be in trouble. But Aurel was able to locate five, so we have one extra. But please pray for this. This is I would say this is the biggest need right now, because we don't want to wait until the thing breaks down and then all the literature printing will stop. So what we're trying to do is to save everything we can, and for the buying of the new risograph. This is the collator. We are so happy when we got this, and the Lord answered to prayer, because before we had the table and would put it in the middle of the print shop and go round and round to collate. And I think 200,000 of the copies we did like that. I think we walked, I don't know, hundreds of miles around that table. And this is the folder and the stapler. And this is the paper cutter that we have. This is all the processes, step by step, for printing into all that it takes for the literature to be ready to be shipped. And this is literature ready to be shipped. And in a church in the east, in a group in the east, that eastern Romania, that distributes our literature. My time is up. I want to be respectful of the time. And thank you very much for it. I would really appreciate your prayers for us. We have like 40 or 50 distributors in Romania. We send literature all over Europe, in United States, Romanian literature, in Mexico, in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand. Romanians are everywhere, and we're thankful for their interest in receiving the literature. Please pray for us, and we want to be faithful and do the best we can for the Lord there. We would appreciate your prayers and the knowledge that you do the same here. May the Lord bless you, and thank you again for listening. Amen. Oh, you need this? Okay.
It's not free.
Thank you.